You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. Today is a big day. We're talking about what to expect at the public hearing for the Supreme Court nominee. Plus, a shutdown avoided, Uber's historic payout, and Amazon's new four-star store. Those stories and many more in less than 10 minutes. Then hang out after the news for Thing to Know Thursday. Today's bonus interview is about a growing trend. It's a new way businesses are hoping to attract new employees. I'm Erica Mandy. Today is Thursday, September 27th. You ready? Let's do this. Today is the day. It's time now for the highly anticipated public hearing on Capitol Hill, where both the Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh, and the woman accusing him of sexual assault, Christine Blasey Ford, will testify under oath and in public about the accusation. And as soon as tomorrow morning, it could be the first vote on whether or not Kavanaugh should be confirmed as a Supreme Court justice, a job he would have for the rest of his life, by the way, and one that will help provide the final say decisions on controversial issues in the U.S. But even before the testimony starts today, there's a new accusation to tell you about. A third woman we heard might be coming forward now has, through her lawyer. Julie Schwetnick accuses Kavanaugh of drinking a lot in high school in the 80s and engaging in what she called abusive and aggressive behavior towards women, that he and friends were there when she and others were drugged and raped. Kavanaugh called it ridiculous and, quote, from the Twilight Zone. He says it never happened. Some lawmakers are calling on today's hearing to be postponed, but the chair of the committee says it is going on as planned. So expect Christine Blasey Ford to testify that Kavanaugh was drunk when he attacked her and held her down in high school, and she thought he would rape her before she actually got away. Kavanaugh will say that, and all three of the accusations that have come out against him are just not true. Both will give opening statements and then take questions. Today's hearing is set to start at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. CBS News reports it could last into the afternoon. It's less clear right now whether or not President Trump will have a meeting today with the Deputy Attorney General as planned. In a news conference yesterday, President Trump said he likes the Deputy AG, Rod Rosenstein, and hopes he stays in his job, but, quote, we'll see. The Hill reports Trump may delay today's scheduled meeting so it doesn't distract from the public hearing. Remember, the deputy attorney general became a hot topic earlier this week. There was a report that Rosenstein thought about secretly recording Trump or trying to get him removed from office. Rosenstein says it's false, but media reports wondered if he would resign or get fired. It's a big deal because Rosenstein is not only the second in command at the Justice Department, but he's also the one overseeing the Russia investigation. So stay tuned. A quick recap now of the president's time leading a UN Security Council meeting yesterday. One of the less expected things that came out of the meeting was what the president said about China. Time reports he accused China of trying to interfere with the U.S. midterm elections in November. President Trump points to the tariffs affecting states and industries that the Republican Party relies on. But critics say that's not evidence of interfering with the election, that the president did not offer any evidence for his claim. China called it not true. Well, it seems another government shutdown will not happen for now. The Wall Street Journal reports Congress passed a big spending bill, and the president is at least expected to sign it. He said, quote, we're going to keep the government open. To do that, he does have to sign the latest spending bill by midnight Sunday. That's the deadline that marks the end of the fiscal year. The new spending bill will keep things going through December 7th. It increases military spending and adds money to disaster aid, but it does not fund the president's plans for a border wall. It sounds like Trump will put off fighting for that funding at least until December. All right, some other things to know today. Uber is paying up. Uber has agreed to pay $148 million to settle claims related to a big data breach back in 2016 that Uber allegedly tried to cover up. Bloomberg reports it's the biggest data breach payout in history. The 2016 breach exposed personal info of more than 25 million Uber users in the U.S. and even more worldwide. And then Uber reportedly paid hackers $100,000 to delete the data and then did not report it. It came out later anyway. But Uber is also getting some attention for a more positive payout. The Verge reports Uber is also pledging another $10 million over 3 years to help cities deal with all the traffic Uber cars have made worse. The money will go toward coming up with new efficient transportation policies and to help cut back on the pollution from Uber cars. The U.S. divorce rate is down. It dropped 18% from 2008 to 2016. Analysts say it's because of Gen X and millennials that they're getting married later and are slower to split. All right, a quick break now to thank our sponsor this week, Swap.com. If you haven't heard of it yet, Swap.com is the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. It sells brands like Lululemon, Carter's, Nike, J.Crew, and Gap, and it lets you save up to 90% off retail price. I don't know about you, but I get pretty overwhelmed walking into resale shops and having to dig through so many clothes. But it's much more convenient with Swap.com. You filter your search settings to find exactly what you're looking for, all with a few clicks. Want women's workout clothes? Check. Need a child's costume for Halloween coming up? Check. Everything you find is gently used, quality, hand-inspected items, and there are new items added daily. Plus, once you buy, if something doesn't fit, there are hassle-free returns within 30 days. You can check it out and get 35% off select items for your first order with the promo code NEWSWORTHY, all one word. Again, just go to swap.com and use the promo code NEWSWORTHY. You'll also have a chance to check out new deals listed every day on swap.com's homepage. Now, back to the news. Amazon is opening its own brick-and-mortar store. And not just one of the pop-ups or another Amazon Go convenience store. This one is permanent and sells items from the website with digital price tags. It's the first of its kind from Amazon. CNBC reports it's called Amazon 4-star because all the items in-store will be rated at least 4 stars on the site. The store will be sectioned off based on what sells best on Amazon.com. So you might see most wished for section, or of course, Amazon's own electronics like its smart speakers and e-readers. Amazon 4-star opens today in New York's Soho neighborhood. Facebook is making another big push in the world of virtual reality, especially for games. CEO Mark Zuckerberg announced the next VR headset coming out next spring. CNET reports it's called the Oculus Quest and costs $399. It's a wireless headset that stands alone, so no computer or cell phone is required, but with advanced controls for games and apps that makes you feel like you're actually there. Fortune reports other companies like Google and Microsoft have also invested in virtual reality, but VR hasn't quite caught on with the majority of consumers. We'll see if that changes. The World University Rankings are out. The list from Times Higher Education includes more than 1,000 schools, and it looks at mostly academics, like teaching and research. Number one on this list, University of Oxford, followed by the University of Cambridge, both in the UK. Number three is Stanford University. A total of 7 of the top 10 are in the US. And that's it for the main news today, but it's now time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know every Thursday after the news. This week, we're talking about a growing trend. Businesses are no longer thinking just about the fun activities in the office to attract millennials, but also the impact of the offices on employees' health. The New York Times cited studies showing healthy workers tend to be more productive, and it's led to new building certification programs popping up in recent years. One is called the WELL Building Standard. So what does that really mean, and is there anything you can do even if your workplace is not on board with this? My guest today is Rachel Gutter. She's the president of the International WELL Building Institute. It's a public benefit corporation with a mission to improve human health and well-being through the built environment. So she's been featured in a variety of well-known media and lectured at the Harvard School of Public Health. Here's my conversation with Rachel Gutter. Hi, Rachel. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So before we dive into what the WELL Building Standard certification is, I want to talk about why this matters. Why is this something that a business or an employee should even care about?
in the workplace, I see that millennials, more than anyone, are driving a lot of these shifts toward health and wellness within the work environment. I think this was conditioned early on by many of those companies in Silicon Valley. You know, everybody wants to work at a Google or a Facebook. They want sleep pods and healthy food and, you know, opportunities to stay moving throughout the day on scooters or, you know, rock climbing walls. But that really is now becoming an increased priority within the millennial generation. In 2017, Deloitte did a survey and found that almost 9 in 10 millennials believe that the success of a business should be measured in terms of more than just its financial performance. And what that translates into as the top candidates look to enter the workforce or make some early decisions around their career is that they're looking for a lot more than a great paycheck and solid benefits. They want an organization that supports their whole person, and they fully expect to have great jobs that also allow them to find fulfillment and be happy. That's a really different posture in the workplace than we've ever seen before. And a lot of those most desirable candidates are driving decisions all the way up to the C-suite in terms of how businesses think about the health and wellness benefits that they put on offer.
So it sounds like recruitment is definitely a big part of this and making sure their employees are happy in the environment. Are there studies that show having a healthy environment actually leads to better productivity?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a series of studies that have recently been released by the Harvard School of Public Health out of their Sea Change School called CogFX. And they have done a fantastic job of associating improvements in things like air quality with improved cognition and performance. We're finding the same thing to be true at a project level for Well. A couple of examples. There's a DC-based Well headquarters that reported that employee absenteeism had decreased by 19% and presenteeism increased by 16% in their first year of occupancy. There was an office of Kundal's in London where they focused explicitly on improved indoor air quality. And that organization has saved more than £200,000 due to the reduction in 4 sick days on average per year per employee and a 27% reduction in staff turnover. At the end of the day, the vast majority of expenses for a business are in its people. And so any opportunities that we have to support our employees' health and help them show up as their best self and most productive selves at work is going to have a substantial payback.
So what is the Well Building Standard? What does a certification look like?
A Well project addresses various different what we call features or improvements across 10 different categories of building performance. So I'll name them for you because I think it gives you a really clear sense of just how holistic this program is. So a Well project would achieve improvements around air, water, nourishment, light, movement, thermal comfort, sound, materials, mind, and community. And all Well projects ultimately go through an on-site performance test and a review by a third party called the Green Business Certification in order to ensure that it actually meets the performance levels that it has aspired to in terms of things like air quality, water quality, acoustics, and lighting.
What's the biggest challenge?
Well, I mean, I think as with all things, the biggest challenge is shifting behavior, right? People ask, what's your competition? And I say the status quo. It's how easy it is for us to keep doing the same things over and over again, the things that are comfortable to us. I don't know about you, but I have a number of friends who are smokers, but none of them will tell you they want to continue to be a smoker. For those who struggle with obesity, you won't really find very many people who say that they desire to stay obese. And so Well focuses on a lot of different opportunities to improve upon the health and well-being of employees without even necessarily requiring their active participation. So you don't have to opt in to healthy air that improves cognition. We focus on lots of different ways to just nudge people toward better behaviors by making water bottle refilling stations more accessible and promoting hydration by offering things like standing desks and focusing on active design layouts of offices that really, by their very nature, will have people circulating and staying moving throughout the day.
What are some small steps that we can take for productivity and health today?
One thing that's becoming increasingly available are technologies that are relatively inexpensive that allow us to get a pretty good sense of things like what is our air quality in this space. I just got a personal fan for my bedroom, and that personal fan measures about 10 different aspects of air quality, from CO2 to particulate matter to humidity and temperature. Knowing what your air quality is, knowing if you have a mold or moisture problem, is really a great way to make choices about how to improve your environment. Overall, other things that you can do, you may have heard a increasingly popular phrase, sitting is the new smoking, and man, is that true. Even if you're like me and you're super diligent about getting out there and working out every day or doing yoga, staying active, if you're sitting for 3 or more hours a day, then you are shaving years off of your life. This is a major lesson for me as I've transitioned to the work that I do at the International Wellbuilding Institute. And now I go to great lengths to try and make sure that I'm not sitting for prolonged periods of time, that I'm taking walking meetings with my teams, and that generally speaking, we're encouraging people to get up and move, even if we're in the middle of a meeting. That one took me a little while to get used to. People would start standing up during meetings and I would think, where are you going? But I think now we've got information at our fingertips to really understand that our lifestyle is what's making us in many cases uncomfortable. There are so many different simple fixes that we can employ.
And of course, you can find links to learn more about the Well Building Standard or any of the news stories we talked about in this episode in today's show notes. Just go to thenewsworthy.com, click episodes, and then look for today's date. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, The Newsworthy is ready for you by 4 in the morning every weekday. So we'll chat again tomorrow. Have a great day.